Would you give your mum, dad, aunt or that uncle who hugged your partner a little too long free access to your phone?
Oh, no!
Oh, my God, it's a really long video. Ew!
In Dave's brand new YouTube original, Get Off My Phone, we've got six comedians to give their phones over to a relative with total freedom to read messages, DMs, photos and browser history.
Where's your search history?
Sorry?
What to do, tips for relief.
The rules are simple. Their relative can read anything they want and even make calls from the comedian's phone.
What is this?
What is... I don't want this one.
That looks really bad.
Starring Tanya Moore, Anya Magliano, Finlay Christie, Travis J with his mum Angie Lamar, Hayley Morris, Grace Campbell and dad Alistair Campbell.
Slightly sexually compromising
people. Divulging their deepest digital secrets.
What the hell is happening?
Get Off My Phone, a Dave YouTube original. Available now on Dave's YouTube channel.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This episode of Conversations Against Living Miserably is brought to you in collaboration with Calm, obviously, Dave, obviously, and Murdoch London Barbers.
Well, hello there. How's it going? I hope whatever time of day it is for you that you're listening to this, that at least one nice thing has happened in your day. And if not, I'm very sorry to hear that, and I hope better ones are around the corner for you, because you're a smasher. Just fancied starting in a nice little way. Wanted to try and put a smile on your face. I don't know if this will make you smile as well, right? But I only learned the other week that the saying is Inspector Clouseau and not Inspector Cluedo, which is what I have been saying for 26 years. And a few days after that, I actually discovered as well that I've been pronouncing posthumously as posthumous for 26 years. I've got 2 degrees, I'm not thick, posthumous. No wonder any time that I used it in a sentence, people looked at us like I was from another bloody planet. Like, oh my, him, very sad that he died, but at least he won that award posthumously. Suppose no one likes an award before they've had their hummus though, gotta have it after. Right, where was I? Getting distracted, that's what was happening. I think I've spent so much time under the duvet recording these intros and the heat's gone to my head and it's sending me to some strange places. But anyway, back on track. I was introing another belter episode of Conversations Against Living Miserably for you, and it is definitely a belter today. We are joined by YouTuber, writer, activist and, most importantly, Celebrity MasterChef 2020 champion Riad Khalaf. I really wanted Riad on the show. I met him while I was guesting on the Sexy Sex podcast he hosts with Alex Fox, Unexpected Fluids, and I just knew he'd be full of good stuff to share with us, and I was bloody right, like I often am. Today we will be chatting about the journey to acceptance and coming out, CBT golden tips, and fancying cartoon characters, because why bloody not? Enjoy!
Good afternoon or good evening. I don't know what time you're listening to this, but hello and welcome to today's episode of Conversations Against Living Miserably, where we are joined by the host of the podcast that got me into podcasts. What a treat. It's Riad Khalaf.
Hey.
Hello.
I did not know that being on Unexpected Fluids sort of took your cherry away.
I was on the Unexpected Fluids podcast, which is a bit of an intense one for your first podcast.
It is. it's
very sexually intrusive.
It's sexual fails and sort of like the funny side of imperfect sex, because what is perfect?
Exactly.
It doesn't exist. But I'm happy that you enjoyed the
process. pop my pod bean.
Yeah. And look at you now.
Don't like that expression at all. That was awful.
Well, our first question, that while Aaron is sick into his coffee in the corner, is when was the last time you felt calm?
Oh, last time I felt calm, it was two nights ago, sitting on the couch with my anxiety sponge, a.k.a. my kitten, Claire.
Claire.
Claire is an amazing name for a kitten.
Named after Claire Underwood from House of Cards, a strong feline-like woman. So she's sitting on my lap. I had a gin and tonic in my other hand, and I was watching The People versus O.J. Simpson. The candles were lit, and the doors were locked, and it was my fella there as well, and it was just like safe haven goals. And that's sort of my process.
I like that.
Yeah.
Once the candles are on, I think that's peak calm. Yeah.
So about three of the candles are the cheapy cheapies from TK Maxx.
Yeah. Yep.
And then one is proper expensive, which was a gift from my auntie, which we only light for special occasions. Otherwise, I get that from the fella. But, you know, we did. We went whole hog and we lit all four candles the other night. So, oh, yeah.
Like Aladdin's cave, just all lit up. And, yeah.
Wow, that's really, really culturally inappropriate. I know I'm half Iraqi. I am from the land of Arabia, but I did not. No, I'm joking. You know, Aladdin was my first crush.
Really?
He was so fit in those parachute pants and his lovely golden skin. And Jasmine's just this little bitch. I was like, go away, he's mine,
I think Jasmine might have been my first one.
Oh, really? Yeah. She is pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's
it's
not
when she goes all fake evil at the end.
I don't think I've ever fancied a cartoon character.
Really? That is weird.
How is that weird?
No, because it's usually your first, isn't
it? Yeah, Robin Hood.
Tarzan or...
No, I don't think I did. Fancied Ronan Keaton.
That's worse.
You say it best.
Oh, don't stop.
When you say nothing at all.
This podcast is going to have to be hollered while I go and combust.
He does the breakfast show now on Heart.
One of those.
Heart. It's what's it called?
I'm not sure. I've seen him on the side of a bus.
Magic.
Yes.
With his magic voice.
When was the first time you became aware of mental health being a thing, be it positive or negative?
I think I realised that I could feel really, really, really bad when I was about 12. And it was a mixture of something that you could probably agree with and something that was a bit silly. So it was my 12 times tables. I just couldn't get them. And I thought that not being able to do mathematics correctly would mean that I would never get a job. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was the end of my life. But the other thing was trying to come out of the closet. So quite different, but all at the same time. And I just remember being constantly in this mode of panic and doom. And I can't get out of it. And it as a kid, it just felt like it lasted forever. Mm. And I felt like I was in this bubble of my own making. Looking around, everyone's having a laugh and enjoying, you know, the fun things together. Mm-hmm. And I was just having an awful, awful time. But I didn't know the name for it. And I just thought, this is a Riyadh thing that I don't know how to get out of this. And then I think probably about 16, 17, I heard the term mental health, and I started to hear about depression and anxiety, and then I was like, aha, that's what it was. And I've always had anxiety issues, always, and I went to CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, when I had the worst bout of it. It was off the back of the death of my grandmother, and then my ex-boyfriend, we ended it together, and it all happened at the same time. And it was the first time in my life where I couldn't cope. To that point, I could fake it. I could go into work, put on a radio show or you know, smile in front of a commissioning editor, and then kind of have a little like moment after. But I remember in this time I'd go into work and I couldn't form a sentence. I'd get into my car and I'd nearly crash it because I couldn't drive properly. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't eat. And I thought, wow, okay, like I'm going to die if I don't sort this out. Yeah. And that's what led to the therapy. And that was like 5, 6 years ago. And I'm still using the tips and tricks that I used back then. Now, which is amazing.
Which tips and tricks do you use?
This is a moment. Mm-hmm. This is not forever. Look at all the great shit that's out there. This is just one shit thing. Breathe. If you can do one thing, just breathe.
Yeah.
Stop. feel the chair on your arse, sit down, don't spiral, cut everything out, take one thing at a time, treat yourself, eat that ice cream, have that gin. I'm not saying alcohol is the solver of problems, but I do like a drink. And spend time with the people that you love. Get out of the noise of the city. You know, London's great, but my God, it can just wreck the head. So for me, it's nature, it's the sea, it's family, it's my cat, and yeah, just mindfulness, you know, like just be here right now. And that stuff really, really works for me. Like I said the other night, making that safe haven really, yeah, really is good for me.
That's nice. What about your 12 times tables? How did they, did you crack them?
Well, then I figured out that you can have a calculator.
This is true.
Like we all have a calculator with us all the time. Yeah. In our phones.
Do you remember when we were kids and your teacher would be like, you're going to have to learn how to do this because it's not like you're going to walk around Tesco with a calculator in your pocket. And I'm like, well, who's laughing now?
Exactly. Thank you, Steve Jobs. Yeah. Like, yeah, really, really, because I think I have some like baggage that I have taken from my teachers, because I remember I had one teacher in primary school. It was the very last year. We called them years in Ireland. Do you call them years here as well?
Yeah.
Okay. he was panicking because he thought that as we went off into secondary school the following year, we were going to say where we came from, and he was embarrassed that we were that bad. And he was shouting at us, going, you're all ridiculous, you're stupid, you're thick. And I'm going, oh my God, he's right. You know, you hear something enough times. And that really stuck with me. And then, yeah, thankfully now I know that actually I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm a bloody genius.
It was the breathing thing that really pissed me off when I went to CBT. And they say it so matter of fact, and it's like, you just need to remember to breathe. And it's like, I know how to breathe.
Yeah, look at me, I'm doing it now.
It's fine. Yeah. And then you actually start doing it properly and you go, oh, fuck, that works. It's really annoying. I'm an idiot. I can't breathe properly. Yeah.
But it is mad, isn't it? Yeah. It's just stopping that spiral. Mm. Like, my boyfriend as well, he won't mind me saying, he suffers really badly with anxiety. And what I've noticed in him is that his manifests in trying to find the thing in his life that he can attach the anxiety to almost justify it. Mm. I'm anxious because my mom said this, or I'm anxious because work, this happened today. And if you take away the anxiety inducing thing, then instantly it snaps to something else. Mm. And his mind tries to rationalize the feeling by blaming it on something. Mm. So we as a couple have to work together to speak about it every night, really. What's going wrong today and why does it not matter?
Yeah.
You know, let's just take the meaning out of it. Yeah, yeah, like this is just a stupid thing that doesn't warrant the crap feeling that you have inside of you. So let's just sort of break it apart and dissect it. Mm. And we don't always reach that point of, you know, kind of calmness, but that's okay too.
Yeah.
I think the main thing is just being able to enjoy your dinner and have a good sleep.
Yeah.
You know, like enjoy the program that you're watching and not have the mind racing all the time. And, you know, we've done, we do CBD oil now. CBD oil now. Yeah, ooh, yeah, give me that. No, we do like little drops on the tongue. And hey, it might be total placebo effect, but you know, another little trick. We like it.
Someone told me that's really good for sleep. Another comic who I'll not name just in case they don't want me to. But they were like, yeah, a couple of drops under the tongue. And I felt like, you know, a Mean Girls when she's like, are you a pusher? I was like, okay.
Do you know who got me into it? It was my mother.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. So,
like, I love the sound of your mum.
She's great, honestly. There's another story about her. No, can I say it? It involves Amsterdam and her having to eat marshmallows so that she doesn't. Yeah, never mind. Yeah, I'll tell you off air. But yeah, I went home to Ireland and we were doing this TV show. It's like Ireland's biggest nighttime talk show. It's called The Late Late Show. I think it's the world's longest running talk show.
Wow.
And so we were on our way in and I was bricking it and she whips out of her handbag the CBD oil and she goes, Riate. I was like, no, it's bollocks, it's bullshit, it doesn't work. And she did like a major squirt, like half a bottle under my tongue. And I'm telling you, within 30 minutes, I was like, I don't care. It was the weirdest feeling because I was like, I know this is huge. I know that if I don't do well on this show, my career's over. Mm-hmm. But I really am fine with that. So, yeah, the stuff I think works.
Amazing. Mm. Did you find that, like obviously you were saying before, that your mental health maybe struggled a bit before you came out? Did that ease after? Or was it still a bit of a like process? I know not everybody has it. It did ease.
Mm-hmm. Because pre coming out, I call it the pre coming out phase, the PCO.
The pre come.
Yeah.
I knew you were going to say that as well.
He has a sex podcast. Crossing the brands, yeah.
Oh my God, I'm seeping out of my jeans now. it's all PG here. Am I allowed to talk about this stuff here? I don't know.
This is why you shouldn't let me book the people who I want to book, because I end up every person who I wanted to book, the conversations have just descended.
No. I love it. This is why I love podcasts, yes. Because I started my career in radio, right, in Dublin, mm-hmm. and it was like music shows and talk shows, and there was a Sunday afternoon at the Lord's Day, and we were doing this show. It was called Spin Hits on a Sunday, and it's like young audience, mm-hmm. and we were talking about the Eurovision, and it was the year that Blue were on, and I just forgot I was live on the radio, and I was saying to my co-presenter, oh my God, did you see Blue on the Eurovision? God, they're so fucking buff now. And then she's like, and she goes, ah, here's Lady Gaga, and just played the song. And then she goes, what, Riyadh, what the fuck? And then I was like, oh, it's fine. And my boss was actually listening, uh-huh. but didn't say anything, didn't text, didn't call, waited until the Monday morning when I was in, called me into a side studio and did what we call an air check, where they listen back to the show with you together and critique you second by second. It's horrific on the best of days. Mm. But I knew that this day, something in the recording, a little surprise was waiting for me and her. And we get closer and closer to the moment where I drop the F-bomb on the Lord's Day. And I'm like, going, oh, how was your weekend? Like trying to speak over it. And then, where did you get up? Did you have a nice time? And then she goes, hang on a second, and rewound it and then played it again. And then she was like, Riyadh, if this happens again, you're off air. Oh, I'm not going to tell the CEO, but I'm just, you know, warning you. Anyway, aside from that, what was I talking about?
Coming out.
Oh, yeah. So
that was a digression.
It was. Another reason why we love podcasts. Yeah. I was incredibly anxious in it, like the 4 years before coming out, mm-hmm. because you're holding in this secret. You don't know if it's a good or a bad thing. You pretty much know it's not good, because everyone around you, including the media, tells you that being LGBT is a sickness. And, you know, I had a huge fear about my father finding out because of his background being an Iraqi man. Mm-hmm. And you slowly but surely, the anxiety that you're living with becomes your new normal. So although it's there, you can cope. So the trauma that young queer people go through in those pre-coming out years, could be 4, could be 40 years, you just don't know, can lead to a lot of good stuff. The ability to kind of look at horrific situations and step back and evaluate in a clear, concise way, but also can lead to body dysphoria, you know, really, really severe anxiety and depression that can come out of the blue at some surprise moment in your life, you know, eating disorders, interpersonal skills being really, really bad, or social anxiety. You know, there's so many things that I've seen from my young followers that write to me. So I can see the hangover of those 4 years of incredible anxiety presenting themselves in really, really morbid, weird ways now. Mm-hmm. But I have to be quite on it. Mm. And when I notice it, call it out, speak it to whoever's around me, friends, family or otherwise, and then work on it. And not just ignore it, because it's a real tangible thing. And thankfully, I'm surrounded by people who are really, really, really great. And there's no one really in my life that goes, ah, you'll be grand. Mm-hmm. As we know people can do. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we're all trained in my circle anyway to kind of go, okay, let's talk about it. And let's not diminish the weight of the thing. You know, it's real.
Yeah. Because I think, not to be the statistics person, but I think in the UK population as a general, it's 14% of people are suffering with some sort of anxiety problem. Mm. And then when you look at the LGBTQ community, it rises to 27% of the population. Yeah. And it's just such a bigger problem in those communities. When you have people writing to you and kind of talking to you about this, do you find that easy to deal with, or do you have to kind of like make sure you're in the right mindset to be able to talk about these things? Or
I know this sounds really cold, but when I get messages like that, I have to make a disconnect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I risk my mental health being damaged. Mm-hmm. And in turn, the content, the books, the stuff that I put out there might not be good or might not even be possible. I might not be able to make it. Mm-hmm. So in order for me to continue making the stuff that I believe can support young queers, I have to have that disconnect.
Yeah.
I read everything. I try and process it. Because in the early days, I was getting so many messages that I would try to respond to all of them. I would really get invested and then I would falter and fall and suffer. Now my rule is if I can see that someone is in immediate dire need of help or guidance and it's quite severe, they're either in a dangerous situation with who's around them or they're maybe considering doing something bad to themselves, mm-hmm. then I jump in. Mm-hmm. And I might start a conversation and then I direct them to a kind of a source in their location. Yeah. So they might be in Indonesia, they might be in the US or wherever they are. I try and find that place. And that rule has helped me mm-hmm. to kind of go, this is my life, this is the outside world, and these are the few that I can allow in for a brief moment so that hopefully, you know, we can work through it. But that's the whole reason why this is not a shameless, well, it is a shameless book. This is the whole reason why I wrote the book. Mm-hmm. Because I was getting all these, literally thousands of messages across different platforms every year. And they were all asking quite similar things, no matter where they were coming from. No matter if they came from a country where it was illegal to be gay or whether it was celebrated that you were LGBT. Mm-hmm. They were, and I thought, I physically, as one human being, cannot write to all these people in a full heartfelt way.
Yeah, of course.
In a step-by-step form. So I need to write a Bible. It's sort of a go-to guide. Now, it's not going to be perfect for everybody. It can't be. But at least it starts you off and hopefully points you in the direction where you can figure it out for yourself. Because this is the thing, is that, you know, if you get to a point at which you have gone from hating yourself, considering taking your own life, terrified that you might even be honor killed by parents or that your school will kick you out or you lose your job, all these things, to then becoming as a self-loving, strong, proud LGBTQ plus person who goes to Pride, who has a partner of the same sex or has transitioned to a different, to the gender that they associate with. If you've gone from that to that, it's an amazing feeling at the end of that journey to go, I did it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Someone didn't tell me how to get there. They just sort of helped me.
Yeah. On the right
and
path.
I don't want to take that feeling of achievement away from anybody, because that is what helps you get over all the bollocks and the hangover of the shame and the anxiety, is knowing that I did this thing.
Yeah. Do you think your path would have been any different, say, if growing up you'd had your book? Mm. You know, say, if that had existed when you were 12 and
Absolutely.
Feeling like that, how like, do you think that would have...
When I was writing it, mm-hmm. I was writing it with two people in mind. Uh-huh. It was me at 13.
Yeah.
Or 15, around that age, and it's a family member mm-hmm. who's quite young. And, you know, I would write it and I would start crying. And I'd write another chapter and then I'd start laughing and then I'd start crying again. So it was a deeply, deeply emotional process for me. Mm. And I was writing a lot of the book in public, so I looked like, you know, a very, very troubled young man.
While screaming, like, where's Claire? Where's Claire?
Yeah, up and down, up and down.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And so it's, you know, it's exactly what I needed. Mm-hmm. But I also had to try and remember that it isn't, you know, the early 2000s. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, it's 20 years on or whatever. It's, you know, so I had to really think about the sort of the modern pressures that exist now that didn't exist then. Mm-hmm. You know, and I know everyone goes to put social media, mm-hmm. but not even just social media, the internet in general.
Yeah.
You know, the instant access to a person 24/7, when they don't really fully understand who they are, can be very damaging. Because if you have those voices in school and you can, you know, get away from those nasty voices, mm-hmm. great. You at least have a few hours at home where you can decompress, realign, find yourself before you charge back into the war zone, which is, you know, the playground. But now that war zone follows you, can follow you. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I really had to take that into account. But also, the other thing is that people don't really think about is the homophobia and transphobia now mm-hmm. can masquerade as concern and can masquerade as, like, very, very gentle and subtle, what I call othering, making you feel like you are not the same as or worthy of the same rights or happiness. It can look like someone's trying to help you. And that's really, 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 really weird and malicious. And for, again, a young mind, they
it's
might not see it.
Manipulative, isn't it? Yeah.
So, you know, if you flick on any TV channel, you know, they're going to have in every news debate someone who's going to be, you know, pro-LGBT, fighting for the rights, but then, you know, to show, in inverted commas, a balance,
mm-hmm. yeah.
they're going to have some arsehole on.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're a young person, you're watching the TV from behind your, you know, your parents' head, and you're kind of looking, mm-hmm. and this person is calling who you are, intrinsically who you are, flawed.
Yeah.
And lesser than, second-class citizen. You're going to start to maybe question it and believe it.
Definitely.
So it's a different kind of homophobia and transphobia.
When people are like, this, your school days are the best of your lives, I'm like, probably was, but I only left secondary school 10 years ago. Mm. Would I go to secondary school now? No way.
No.
Would I want to be 14 years old in secondary school now? Nah. Mm.
Do you know what?
No.
I was actually thinking about this yesterday.
Uh-huh.
I walked through a university here in London. It was RCL? No, UCL.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
UCL.
Yep.
And first of all the fellas were gorgeous. That was nice. I'm not that old, by the way. I'm not some pervert. This is okay for me to
put the episode description as just how attractive you are.
21-year-olds are okay for 28-year-olds to find attractive. Anyway, so I was walking through going, God, this is lovely looking in here. But also, I would go back to that.
Mm-hmm.
I'd go back to uni because that's where you're kind of like, oh, this is who I am.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I can dance. I can party. I can kiss fellas. I can have a beer.
Mm-hmm.
I can be an autonomous person for the first time. Fuck off, Mom. I'm not going to bed. You know what I mean? Whereas school, oh, I wouldn't go back if you paid me.
No.
If you
no
paid
way.
Me £5 million now to go back for 1 year, I'd say go. Go away. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing it.
Mm.
It's horrible.
I drive past my old secondary school sometimes if I'm back in Newcastle and I feel like my chest tightening and my heart and I'm like,
were you bullied?
Nah. See, the thing is, I wasn't bullied, but I was never part of the cool group. So I was like deliberately left out of things.
But now you're on the telly.
I know.
Yeah.
One memory that sticks with me is being in sixth form. If any of these girls listen, I'm sorry, but I'm not slagging you off. I suppose I kind of am. And I remember one of them had a house party and invited every single person in the year group but me.
Oh.
Every single person. And I was like, looking back, probably an anxious kid, but at the time I was like, I'm just shy. So I was like, well, no way am I just going to go up to her and be like, oh, can I come to your party? And she was in like my sort of extended friendship group, so she knew me. And I remember mentioning it to somebody else and they brought it up with her the following week, so like after the party, and they were like, oh, I think Lauren was quite upset you didn't invite her. And she went, well, why didn't she just come? Everyone was invited. But it was a Facebook event, which I hadn't been like included to. And I was like, it's not like the old days when, you know, pre-social media, when it was just to, like, everyone's invited. I was like, but I wasn't invited.
Mm.
I wasn't on that exclusive. Well, I say exclusive. It wasn't exclusive because everyone was on it.
Now, do you, just digging a bit deeper here, it might be too abstract, but I'm going to go with it.
Yeah.
Do you think think that your lack of being part of the cool kids has led you into a career where you 100%. Are constantly glorified and cheered and you're great and there's a spotlight?
Yeah, I think if you're, like I said, I'm never really part of the cool group and always felt like I wasn't part of that group because I was weird or because I was different or because I was, you know, when you're like 15 and you're like, I'm random. That was me. I was like, I'm just like random. And I wasn't. I was funny. That's what I was. I was a kid who was funny. But at the time it was like, oh, she's weird. She's random. She's odd.
I got that.
And now
too.
I think now I'm older. I'm like, yeah, I'm weird. Yeah, I'm random. Yeah, I'm odd. But that's
and it's making
brilliant.
Me a shitload of cash.
Yeah, exactly. Do I want to come at your party now? Fuck no. Unless there's snacks and then yes, please.
So funny. I was called the random kid too because I just like to talk about whales' penises and stuff. I found weird shit really interesting and I'd say inappropriate stuff just to get a laugh in the class. And it was like, oh, he doesn't fit in, so we don't want to be friends with him. So I was the floater. I would go around. Now when I entered for brief periods the cool group, it was only to be the jester and to be the guy who made fun of himself for your benefit. But I was happy to be laughed at. I didn't want them to laugh with me. I was like, at least they're not kicking me.
Oh, definitely.
And then at the minute where I saw them losing interest or where it went a bit nasty, I'd be like, oh, gotta go over here and back to the nerds or back to the emo kids or back to the whoever or the drama kids. So when it came to birthday parties as well, I wasn't quite good enough friends with any individual group to be invited. So I'd just stay home with my parents.
I had a lush group of friends, but weirdly, once I left school and went to uni, kind of drifted apart from them all. But then you start to doubt that as like a young adult because you're like, oh, did any of them ever really like me then? Because I'm the one who's... I went to uni in my hometown, so it's not like I was like, bye, I'm off to the other end of the country. I was like, still in this city, and oh, they don't want to talk. And then you, even though I was making new friends at university, I had that whole part in the back of my mind going, oh, but the people I've grown up with at school, they don't want anything to do with me. But and then I felt like I was settling into the person who I was, and I was like, well, is it that they didn't like old Lauren, or do they not like new Lauren? And I think I really struggled with my identity for a long time, and now I'm like, oh, I'm a weirdo and I don't care a little bit.
It's getting to that point of just going, I am, oh, not to go all the cars,
I am
like,
what
on,
I
but,
am
and just going, yeah, that's me, I'm fucking weirdo, and that's like, it's the best I'm doing,
and that's enough.
Exactly.
And I think as well, I used to look at them, I don't know if in your school it was the same, the cool kids always sort of made that bit more of an effort visually.
Yeah.
The hair was always done better. They had the Abercrombie and Fitch or the Hollister clothing on, and it's kind of like then it looked cool and it looked aspirational. Mm-hmm. But now I'm like, you all look the same.
Yeah.
You're boring.
Yeah.
You're non-original. And again, not to sound like a bitch, I'm just pointing out facts. These are pure facts. Mm-hmm. Did any of them end up doing university degrees that led to jobs where they were happy. And fulfilled?
Mm-hmm.
No. I think maybe 1 out of 10 of them did.
Mm-hmm.
They all spent too much time, I believe, trying to look and appear a certain way and then do the university degree that looked and appeared like the right degree rather than just doing them.
What they wanted, yeah.
Both in what they said, what they found funny, how they dressed, and eventually what they went to study.
Yeah.
So actually, being the random kid, I think, has allowed us to trash out ideas, figure shit out, toy with that, toy with this, and go, aha, I love this weird job that, you know, is very hard to get into, but hey, I'm going to give it a bash.
Definitely.
And I'm so proud of you
and
me.
Yeah, well done us.
I think that's amazing.
Yeah.
And you too. Do you know what I mean?
I'm here.
I don't know you enough. That's the problem. But I think, you know, there's a lot to be said for, you know, going through those difficult years and coming out the other side as a person who's gone, uh-huh. Yeah, I'm good.
Definitely.
Do you play some anxiety bingo?
Yeah, and you know what? I've got it on the page this time.
My God!
Oh, she's ready. So, going to give you like essentially like two sides of the same anxious coin.
Okay.
And we're going to find out which you would rather. So, I think we've done all these ones. There'll be one on this page. Oh, would you rather be alone in a crowd or be with lots of people but in a small space?
The latter, definitely.
Really?
Yeah.
Lots of people in a small space?
Yeah.
What's the first one?
Alone in a crowd?
Alone in a crowd.
Yeah, I'd rather be alone in a crowd.
Oh, I don't mind being myself and I don't like crowds.
Oh, that's...
I'm not good with my own brain and especially like large groups of people.
If I've got headphones and I can listen to this podcast, then I'm going to be good.
Yeah.
Because you're in your own little bubble then, aren't you?
Yeah. Mm. I went to a festival on my own for the first time this year. So I went...
What was that? On your own?
It was very... I got booked to do a music festival in Finland to do like the comedy stage. And I agreed to do it because the Chainsmokers were playing. And I really like the Chainsmokers. And I finished my set in the afternoon and walked back to the hotel. I remember sitting and I was like, I really want to see the Chainsmokers, but it's so lame to go on my own. And oh my God, like everyone's going to know I'm on my own and I'm going to feel so awkward on my own. But I did it. I went.
Yes.
I had the best time.
Yes.
I did not care that I was, because normally if I'm on my own in a crowd, I'm like, I'll stand near a group and
so
people might think
like
I'm with that group. Yeah. Didn't care. I was just like plonked on my own in the middle. Didn't care. So I was hadn't even had like an alcoholic drink, which I thought, oh, I'm going to need a few drinks.
Yeah.
Nothing to drink. Had a great time.
Love that.
Yeah.
I've done the going to the cinema alone a couple of times.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which I thought was so awks and weird, but it's actually really, really nice.
No one to eat your popcorn, yeah.
It's just quite liberating, isn't it? It's just nice, like, this is for me, just
And
for
in
me.
The middle of the day when there's only two other people in there, who are also alone, by the way.
Yeah.
One of them's having a wank in the back row, but hey, we're all in this
we're
together.
All good time.
Immersive experience.
Sticky popcorn. But no, I think that's great. And also, you know, everyone else is in work, so it's a bit more of like a...
The thing with small spaces for me is just, if there's lots of people in a small space, I don't like that I don't have my space.
Mm.
And I feel like I'm in everyone's way, and I'm like, but a crowd. Yeah. Yeah. That was a good one.
Yeah.
I like that one.
Got
last question?
Yes, please.
So, kind of already touched on it, but I'm going a bit deeper. If you could go back to your younger self and give yourself some advice on like mental health and living without misery, what would you tell yourself? But you're not allowed to just give yourself your book.
Okay. Damn it.
Just in case you just end on a plug.
There you go. Get it on Amazon. Which didn't exist back then, I don't think. So I would, first of all, before I say anything, I give him a big, big long hug.
Aww.
Because that releases oxytocin. And then I'd say to him, look, it's not going to be easy, so I'm not going to lie to you about that. It's going to be tough. There's going to be a load of arseholes out there that are going to say some nasty stuff to you, but I promise you, in the end, you will win by just being you. Don't change who you are, because that's your product. That's the best thing about you. Your family are the thing that matters, not all the other outside external noise. So the things that make you happy, lean into that. Treat yourself. Buy the thing. Do the thing. Travel. And in the end, without you even realizing, it'll just sort of come together.
That's a lovely one.
That's brilliant.
Thank
you so much.
I need to hear that as well. Yeah.
I said it to myself last night. I was on a run and I go on a run so that I don't get anxious, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then I started to get anxiety on the run because I was thinking. Like, and I was thinking about, you know, a gig that I would love to get and that I don't know if I'll ever achieve such a level of a gig, but I really want it. And I just had to think back. I was like, but I never thought that I'd get to this point that I'm at right now.
Yeah.
So I was just like, and if I could say to that guy back then, enjoy the journey, why don't I think forward rather than back and say to future Riyad, fucking enjoy the journey. You're here now. Enjoy it, enjoy it, enjoy it. There's always that feeling of doom. It's all going to end. It's all going to be over. Mm-hmm. And really, it's not unless you disastrously fuck up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think if you're listening now and you're worried about the thing that's coming up, just remember how far you've come to this point and how little you believed you could achieve said thing now. You're killing it.
Yeah. Mm.
So
remember,
embrace that.
They said we wouldn't have calculators in our pockets.
Look at us now.
Look at us now.
2 times 2 is 5.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you. Guys.
I genuinely think I could have chatted to Riyad all day long. What a wonderful human being and a wonderful conversation we had there. I really do hope that you enjoyed that as much as I did. Thank you very much, Riyad, for coming and talking to us. And if you enjoyed Riyad, which of course you did, and want to check out more of his work, which of course you do, his book that we mentioned is out now. It's called Yay, You're Gay, Now What? A Gay Boy's Guide to Life. So why not go treat yourself to that from wherever you buy your books from. Thank you, Riyad, and as always to Aaron for being a champ and putting up with my bullshit. To the team at Dave and Kong for letting us make these, and of course to you, you bunch of bloody lovely smashers. Thank you for listening to us. If you fancy doing a good deed and spreading the word about our little podcast to help us reach more people, you can leave us a rating, a review, subscribe, give us a recommend to a friend. And talking of good deeds, if you have a few quid spare and are able to do so, then you can donate to Calm through their website and help support the invaluable work they do. Hope to catch you again. Cheers for tuning in. Bye. Bye, 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 bye. Bye, bye, bye. Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Would you give your mum, dad, aunt, or that uncle who hugged your partner a little too long free access to your phone?
Oh, no! Oh, my God, it's a really long video. Ew!
In Dave's brand new YouTube original, Get Off My Phone, we've got six comedians to give their phones over to a relative with total freedom to read messages, DMs, photos, and browser history.
Where's your search history?
Sorry?
What to do, tips for relief.
The rules are simple. Their relative can read anything they want and even make calls from the comedian's phone.
What is this?
I don't want this one.
That looks really bad.
Starring Tanya Moore, Anya Magliano, Finlay Christie, Travis J with his mum Angie Lamar, Hayley Morris, Grace Campbell and dad Alistair Campbell.
Slightly sexually compromising people.
Divulging their deepest digital secrets.
What the hell is happening?
Get Off My Phone, a Dave YouTube original. Available now on Dave's YouTube channel.